Well, good morning and welcome to Grace. I'm Pastor Ryan. This morning, we're going to be hearing from one of our elders, Phil Ketela, as we continue in our series examining how Jesus sends out his disciples. What we will find is that sending actually starts with following. Thanks for listening today as Phil walks us through those beginning stages of the apostles' journey to spread the gospel as it begins with following Jesus.
Weren't we all lost before our hearts were open to our sinfulness and selfishness? Open because of Jesus' sacrifice and his atonement for our sins. Him taking our place on the cross where we needed to be. I don't know about you all, but this sacrifice, this giving of himself, of Jesus, for me, for us, that especially while I was yet a sinner, that especially is what compels me and has brought me to repent of my sins and to follow him. It compelled me to live by the truth every day. And just as Ryan mentioned, if I fail to live by his truth, if I stumble at times in my life, remember his sacrifice for us, for me, and repent and believe in him. Then a couple weeks ago, Ryan spoke of when we are sent by Jesus. Sent by Jesus means we are his representatives or his ambassadors, sent to tell our neighbors, our co-workers, and our family who do not know of the grace offered by God by his forgiveness of sin through Jesus. We are to help reconcile people to God through Christ. We are led by God and by the Holy Spirit as God wants to work through us and in us. And it's this working in us, that this initial working of God and the Spirit in us and about us, which turns us to believe in that atoning work of Jesus. This belief to where we want to do his bidding. Our following Jesus because of what he has done for me, done for us. Our following Jesus. That's what I'd like to speak on today. How does that old hymnal say? And I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. When we've decided to follow him. Isn't that the way it is when we're compelled to follow Jesus? When we have the Holy Spirit open our eyes to the darkness of our selfish hearts and see how selfless Jesus was for our behalf. So our reading today is in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. We'll see how Peter and his brother Andrew, along with James and his brother John, how they all decided to drop everything and follow Jesus when they heard the truth of God's word from Jesus and also saw the witness of his life. So Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting the net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. In verse 20, it said, at once they left their nets and followed him. And in verse 22, it says, immediately James and John left their boat and their father, which is really pretty compelling for that day to leave your business, your father and your and the business. They left immediately. They left it all to follow Jesus and become fishers of men. Now remember, these disciples had heard about Jesus already and probably had heard him preach, They had heard John the Baptist talking about Jesus, which we read about in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 40. So when Jesus said to follow me, they probably were overwhelmed by his asking them. So following Jesus in this context involves three things. First is a change in identity. And Lisa, your kid's message kind of spoke on that, of changing your identity. You change your behavior when God comes into your life. We see this in verse 19 in our reading there, where instead of fishing for fish, Jesus says, "You'll make them fishers of men." In our lives, when we decide to follow Jesus, our attitude, our habits will change in us, which leads to a change at home and in our workplace. Or we might even have to change our profession because of what God's word has said. Our lives will conform to God's word when we follow Jesus. We are no longer just a nurse or a teacher or a forester. We now are a Christian nurse, a Christian teacher, a Christian forester. In Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 57, we read about a man who tells Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Kind of sounds like Peter when he said, I will never deny you. But Jesus knew Peter's heart, just as he knew this man's heart. So Jesus tells this man that in order to follow him means his life is going to change, and that his home life is going to change also. Life isn't going to be the same when you follow him, when you follow Jesus. For me, when I became a Christian, my habits changed 180, and just as some of you know, my business name was Metanoia, and Metanoia means to turn completely around, to turn away from the worldly ways into following him. I no longer looked to end my work day near a tavern where I could meet up with a guy from my profession and come home sometime during the middle of the night. I didn't swear anymore, and to hear others swear, I kind of felt bad for them because of what they were doing. And did try to speak to them about Jesus, and some would listen, most would change the subject completely. But my identity had changed and they knew it. Second, following Jesus leads us to immediate obedience. We see this in verse 20 of Matthew 4, where it says, at once they left their nets and followed him. They didn't say, "Let me do this or that first, and then I will follow you." No, they left everything, even the family business of fishing, as their father's right there alongside them. And as we look again in Luke chapter 9, verse 59, we see Jesus emphasizing that true following requires immediate action. And not, as some people might say, "I'll wait till I'm older, then I'll follow Jesus." What they really are saying is that it isn't a priority right now, and it's going to hinder my worldly walk, but I'll do it later. And as we read in Luke 9, verse 60, about the man's father, do you really think Jesus didn't know that the man's father had died? Sure he did. And he knew the man's heart also. So that's why he initially asked him to follow him, to follow Jesus. For me, I knew in my heart, my new heart, that right away I didn't want to live as I used to. And I think if you ask my wife, when I came back from the men's Christian retreat where Christ came into my life, when I came home, she noticed there was a different guy that came home. Obedience to Christ was immediate. And I attribute it all to the Holy Spirit and his working inside of me. And the drinking, I had no desire, none whatsoever, to drink after that. And that is all because of the Holy Spirit, because I had tried for a good year beforehand to quit on my own. But once Christ came into my life, then that he took over. He took control. Third, when we follow Jesus, he is our priority. And again in Matthew 4, in verse 20, where it says, at once, immediately, they left their nets and followed him. They left their old life behind and decided to follow Jesus. We can't be half-hearted in our following him. You're either following him or you're not. You can't be partially dead, right? You're either dead or you're alive. My wife said you can't be kind of pregnant. Where's Chelsea? You are. So it is with following Christ. You're either in or you're out. On this earth, you're either dead in your sins, dead in your life of self-indulgence, or you are alive in Christ, alive because of his light shining in your life. In my new life, my born-again life, I've had a change in priorities, and people know and have accepted them. Wednesday mornings are set aside for Bible study. And I've had to rearrange work for that. And they know full well that I'm going to Bible study Wednesday mornings. And I've had to tell my family at times that I couldn't do something with them because of church meetings or functions. My priorities have changed. So application, when it comes to applying this to your life, I really liked what Pastor Ryan had spoke of back on May 26th, our notes, if you had them. I bet Teresa has them in her Bible, but his notes from back then on application, I think, is what we need to do always in our Christian walk on this earth and in this world. The first two things we need to do to continue our godly walk in this world are tied together, and that is to believe and repent. Believe based on what God's word tells us and the examples of past believers, and really, as you apply his truth to your life, you've got the examples. You're going to see what God's wanting to do. And I've told this story many times. You've heard it from me, but it's like hearing about the Red Sea parting or whatever. I mean, it's something that I hang on to. But when we went on our DR trip and we were going to go to a place that we had been to before, a community, to do vacation Bible school, and we had gotten there and we were not comfortable. It was an uncomfortable situation. And so when we were told, were we going to be going back there, which was unexpected, well, a bunch of us didn't want to go. We said no, we weren't comfortable there at all. And there was the one voice in the crowd of us that said, well, let's go see what God's got in store. And we went, and of course, it was just the opposite of what we thought. It was just an amazing time. Just the opposite, because we followed God's word and didn't lean on our own understanding. So it worked out just the opposite. Believe and repent. Repent is obvious, right? Matthew 4, verse 17 says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. His message is the same today as it was then. Following Christ means to turn away from our self-centeredness and self-control and turning our lives over to Christ's direction and his control. The next point of application, we need to live by the truth, which is basically what I was just mentioning, talking about, putting God's word into practice. We've heard that as Christians, as followers of Christ, we must love your neighbor as yourself. I don't know about you all, but I fail at this miserably at times. I like my time to myself. But then I remember all that I have to be thankful for. And that this all comes from God. Jesus loves me, and he loves us to the point of dying on the cross for our transgressions. Nothing of his doing It's all my sins. I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to disappoint Jesus for all he's done for me. And I believe I've told this story before, not as many times, but when I was a kid and getting kicked off the bus that took us home for throwing snowballs. A bunch of guys were throwing snowballs at the bus. So we got kicked off right then and there. We weren't allowed to go for a few days. And I'll always remember when I did get home. I don't remember how I got home. But when I got home, my mother had found out ahead of time. And when I walked in her door, I'll always remember she was sitting there in a chair. And she was so disappointed in me, and she was crying because I had failed her. And that's what it is with Jesus. I don't want to fail him. We don't want to disappoint him. Have I failed him in my lifetime? Yes. And as I have, I've asked for his forgiveness and repented of my sin. Last of all, in order to follow Jesus, worship God. Worship him by telling your story of redemption. Tell others that don't believe you. Tell them the story. Tell them what Jesus did for them and for you. And what better way to follow Jesus than to go and tell someone else about him, just like in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 46. And I like that story, so if you want to turn there into John, I'm going to read that. John chapter 1, verse 35 through 46. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. Come and see. Let's hang on to that as we follow him. Our King Jesus, who came in order that we might see. Let's not disappoint him. Can you bow your heads in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, on this Father's Day, thank you for your leading and guiding and loving us as you do in sending your Son, Jesus, for us and for our sins. Sending him while we are still sinners. We thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. We just ask that you'd continue to guide us, to pursue us, and to lead us as we would work for you on this earth, and that we would not ever disappoint our King Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.